online and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
This is the main evening news at 5 o'clock on Highland Radio. I'm Emma Ryan. In this bulletin, the Sealta University Healthcare Group and Galway University Hospital has welcomed confirmation today that the proposed new elective hospital for the region will progress. An open letter has been sent to Donegal TDs on behalf of Donegal hoteliers seeking support for tourism recovery. A permanent GP has been recruited for Dunkaneely, and Donegal Piers and Harbours have been granted €5.6 million in funding announced today. We'll have those stories in full and a lot more coming up over the next half an hour. And just after the break, Kenny Harkin will be here in the latest in sport to this evening's main stories. The Sealta University Healthcare Group and Galway University Hospital has welcomed confirmation today that the proposed new elective hospital for the region will progress. Sealta says the development of the elective site at Maryland Park in Galway will support the separation of scheduled and unscheduled care, reduce cancellations and address lengthy waiting lists for elective procedures. Donal Kavanagh has more.
8 operating theatres, 7 endoscopy suites and 9 minor operation rooms are planned for the Galway Centre, which is forecast to provide 175,000 additional procedures, treatments and diagnostic appointments every year for patients in the region from Galway to Donegal. Sealta says the elective hospital will be focused on providing daycare, GI endoscopy, minor operations, outpatient treatment and outpatient diagnostic services. The group says this will significantly reduce waiting lists as the development will ensure that all elective care is scheduled and not impacted by emergency or acute patients from across the Sealta region. CEO Tony Canavan says this will allow them to provide vital services and early access to care for the growing population in the West and Northwest.
However, Donegal Action for Cancer Care says it's a disgrace that the North West is being excluded from a new government plan to deal with the backlog of planned operations. On today's 9 to noon show, DACC Chair Betty Holmes said once again Letterkenny University Hospital and the people of Donegal are being deliberately and intentionally left out.
Again, it's the Galway-Dublin line and the hospitals below it. The 15 high-volume inpatient day service procedures that are listed. We do a lot of these at Letterkenny Hospital. And here we're talking again about the government as allocating, I think it's $350 million to the HSE and the National Treatment Purchase Fund to reduce waiting lists. Why isn't this money being put into Letterkenny Hospital? Why are Donegal patients being asked to travel? And again, I have written today to our Donegal Minister and our Donegal deputies, and you know, I've told them that the plans are going ahead, and again, it's the Galway-Dublin line, and we're saying, you know, and they must object to this.
A permanent GP has been recruited for Dunkaneely. The HSE has today confirmed that a GP has been appointed to Dunkaneely following fears that the area would be left with no GP. The HSE are now progressing through the contract process with a new doctor expected to be in place early in the new year. Until the process is complete, the interim arrangements in place for Dunkaneely will continue with Dr. Charles McManus providing cover for patients from the health centre in Glenty. An open letter has been sent to Donegal TDs on behalf of Donegal hoteliers seeking support for tourism recovery and the retention of the 9% VAT rate. The letter, issued by Niall Coffey, a member of the Donegal branch of the Irish Hotels Federation, in a bid to highlight the growing economic challenges facing the sector over the coming year. While the tourism industry in Donegal has seen an upturn in business since the pandemic, it continues to struggle with the rising costs. Michael Magner, National Vice President of the Irish Hotels Federation, says revenue generated from tourism plays a huge part in this region.
55 businesses in the Donegal area have written to the local TDs and members of government and senators in the area to highlight concerns the industry is facing as we move into 2023, in particular in relation to the cost of living and the cost of doing business for our hotels and businesses, where we're seeing energy prices just absolutely going out of control. And while the government have put in place welcome supports, they don't go far enough, regrettably, to help those businesses as we move forward. So there is a concern, and I suppose when we move and look at tourism nationally, the northwest of the country, and in particular Donegal relies very heavy on tourism as an income generator for the local region. In fact, there was 249 million in tourism revenues in Donegal annually. Along with that, 8,000 jobs are supported directly, not to mind the indirect jobs. So there is a concern as we move forward into 2023, particularly on the basis that overseas numbers don't look as strong as they did pre-pandemic, and it will take still a number of years for that level of tourism to go back to the pre-pandemic levels. And while North America is looking strong for next year, there are significant headwinds and concerns about the United Kingdom market and indeed mainland Europe, who themselves are experiencing energy and cost of living crises also.
13 Donegal piers and harbours have been granted €5.6 million in the latest tranche of Brexit adjustment funding, which was announced this afternoon. Funding has also been confirmed for a number of ongoing projects, including nearly €15 million for the ongoing breakwater project in Greencastle. Minister Charlie McConnellogue says the new projects announced today are significant.
I'm glad to be able to announce 13 new projects today across Donegal, so with a total investment of €5.6 million, and this is was the most significant two projects in terms of investment announced today. Is €1.5 million for upgrading of Port Allen Pier, and also €1.2 million for Bun Beg Pier for a new pontoon. But also significant investment in lots of our smaller piers and harbours, for example, Maville and Bunnagee and Remelton receiving funding, as well as Rossbeg and Pollawaddy Pier as well. So overall, that 13 projects will make a real difference, and also the rate of grant aid is being increased to 95% to reduce the pressure on the County Council. And this means now that the total funding announced for piers and harbours this year in Donegal is €26 million, which is the highest in the country in about.
MLAs in the north have failed to restore a power-sharing government again. The Assembly met for the fifth time today to try to find a breakthrough. However, the DUP had already indicated efforts would not be successful. Members failed to elect a speaker, and therefore the Assembly cannot function. The DUP's Gordon Lyons has slammed Sinn Féin's approach to the political stalemate.
The recall of this Assembly is nothing more than a farce. We know that it is a stunt, the public know that it is a stunt, and the other parties know that it is a stunt as well, because many of them have told us so privately. And so it should come as no surprise to the House that the DUP will not be supporting either of the nominees for Speaker today.
A special Oireachtas Housing Committee meeting has heard a call for the quarry at the centre of the defective block scandal in Donegal to be re-inspected and the results of previous geological tests independently assessed. In an exchange with Fergal O'Quigley, an Assistant Secretary in the Department of Housing, Deputy Padraig McLaughlin asked for assurances that the work would be done after it emerged the quarry in question, which he did not specifically name, is no longer producing construction materials. That means it is not subject to regular inspections, and after the committee was told that of around 180 quarries in the county, only the 17 which are producing materials were included in an audit published this week. Deputy McLaughlin told Mr O'Quigley that people in Donegal need assurances.
Will you assure this committee that you will now, following today, order, or the minister, order an urgent examination of this particular quarry in terms of the geological and petrographic assessment that had been carried out, that be independently, urgently examined, including getting access to that quarry to do that? That's the least that the thousands of people that are affected, but absolutely life's destroyed here. One of the biggest scandals in the history of the state. Surely that assurance can be given. If it hasn't been done already, will you give an assurance it will be done after today?
The department has to operate within, you know, in terms of the regulations that are laid down. We're talking about placing products on the market and the standards which operate, and we will operate within that. In terms of going into a non-producer, I can't comment. We probably need to take advice on that.
Okay. Can you revert back to the committee when you get that advice?
The topic of discussion today is not
That's
the specifics.
Fair, but that's fair enough. I'm not trying to... you appreciate what I'm trying to do here is try to get assurances for people that we will learn the lessons of what led to this disaster and make sure they don't happen again.
We'll come back to the committee, but just to say, I mean, our experience in pyrite and defective apartments and the Mike issue has led to huge transformation and improvement, and the recommendations that there is further investment and training and resources needed in this space. So it's all part of that continuous journey.
But you will revert back around. The particular quarry that left the vast majority of homes the way they are.
We'll report back.
Ulster University Professor Paul Dunlop has been involved in the Defective Blocks campaign for several years and was one of the organisers of a major conference in Letterkenny last month. He says one of the key things that came into focus at that committee hearing was the fact that various organisations have different responsibilities and it can be hard to pin down who's responsible for what.
One of the interesting things I think that's come out of this is that now people can go back and look through that recording and find out the sort of multiple levels of things that are meant to be happening and who's doing what. And it's not very coherent from what I could see. NSAI are doing one thing. They do an audit annually that they said. Geraldine Larkin was in there talking. She's the CEO talking about this audit that they do every year. And I'm going, well, if they audited everybody every year, then how come we ended up with a complete concrete
fiasco? Well, maybe the auditing needs auditing.
Yeah, possibly. And again, what are they auditing? Just have you got your paperwork in place? Do they go in and do any detailed petrographic tests of quarry faces? I'm pretty sure they don't. Geological Survey of Ireland were there, and they had a really critical role in this, and I think that they did a good job. You know, but they said, look, we only respond as an arm of the state to, if we're asked, we'll come along and help. There's nothing mandatory for them to be involved in testing quarries. And when pushed towards the end, Pádraig McLaughlin eventually got it out of that committee hearing, the quarry that has caused most of this issue, or is at the centre of it all, has yet to be tested by anybody. And Geological Survey of Ireland said that they didn't even get through the gates of that. So I think the whole level of detail here needs to be teased out over the next few weeks to find out actually who's doing what.
It's almost 12 minutes past five. We're going to take a short break now, but we'll be back with more right after these.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy's Sports Letterkenny, with great stocking fillers like snoods and bobble hats. Shop local and find the perfect Christmas gift with free next day delivery on orders over €85 at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to Highland Radio News. It's over to Kenny Harkin for this evening's sport.
Thanks, Emma. Good evening. Starting with motorsport news, and Motorsport Ireland's award winners were announced today at their annual ceremony, with young drivers from Donegal, Dublin and Offaly landing three of the sport's most prestigious honours. Eamon Kelly was named the Young Rally Driver of the Year. Alex Denning was named Young Racing Driver of the Year at today's ceremony in the Crown Plaza Hotel in Dublin. The International Driver of the Year award went to Alex Dunn from County Offaly. Well, the Billy Coleman Award for the Young Rally Driver of the Year was won by Eamon Kelly, who hails from County Donegal. He was nominated for his performances in the first third of the year and went on to further successes throughout the season, securing the 2022 Junior British Rally Championship title behind the wheel of a Ford Fiesta Rally 4. He now joins a list of illustrious winners of the Billy Coleman Award, which includes World Rally Championship driver Craig Breen and four-time British Rally champion Keith Cronin. As part of the award, Eamon will receive support to the value of €50,000 from Sport Ireland and Motorsport Ireland for the 2023 season, as well as a further $50,000 that has been pledged by the Team Ireland Foundation. Moving on to soccer, Michael O'Neill is back for a second spell as manager of Northern Ireland. The 53-year-old has signed a 5.5-year deal with the IFA. The ex-Shamrock Rovers boss previously managed Northern Ireland between 2011 and 2020, guiding them to the European Championship finals in 2016. He then moved to Stoke City but left the English club earlier this year. O'Neill succeeds Ian Barraclough, who was sacked in October. And Manchester United manager Erik ten Hag has made his first comments on Cristiano Ronaldo since the Portuguese star departed Old Trafford. Ten Hag told MUTV the issue was now a thing of the past. Ronaldo has since been linked with a move to Saudi Arabia. And Belgium forward Eden Hazard has retired from international football at the age of 31. Hazard won the silver ball at the 2018 World Cup, in which Belgium finished third. But he has struggled for form and fitness in recent years. Belgium were knocked out at the group stage in Qatar. Real Madrid player Hazard made 126 appearances for the Red Devils, scoring 33 goals. And Republic of Ireland captain Katie McCabe is likely to feature for Arsenal in their Champions League match with Juventus tonight. That match kicks off at the Emirates Stadium at 8 o'clock. In the same group, defending champions Lyon, they play Zurich. That one gets underway shortly at 5:45. In rugby, Cian Healy will be available to play for Leinster against Racing in the Champions Cup this weekend. The prop has had his red card he received against Ulster on Saturday overturned. Healy was dismissed for a tackle on Tom Stewart in the 20th minute at the Kingspan Stadium, and after a review of the incident, a disciplinary panel reduced the red card to a yellow. And Rob Baxter signed a new long-term contract to remain as director of rugby with Premiership side Exeter. He has helped guide the club to European Champions Cup and two domestic titles during his time in charge. In tennis, the Lawn Tennis Association has been fined £820,000 by the ATP for its ban on Russian and Belarusian players. They were prevented from competing at five events this summer, including Queens and Surbiton over the invasion of Ukraine. Britain's Culture Secretary has called on the ATP to reconsider its punishment. And Novak Djokovic is due to start the new year by playing at the Adelaide International Tennis Tournament. It'll be his first appearance in Australia since he was deported from the country over COVID-19 vaccine status. The nine-time Australian Open champion has had his visa ban overturned. Finally, for this evening, it's just back to motorsport. The number of Formula One sprint races will double from 3 to 6 next year. They'll be held in Azerbaijan, Austria, Belgium, Qatar, the USA and Brazil. Extra points are on offer in the sprint, with the finishing order making up the grid for the main race at each Grand Prix. That's your sport. It's back to Emma.
Thanks, Kenny, and I return to news now. Six people have been arrested in Donegal following a number of searches in the county as part of Operation Tara, targeting the sale and supply of drugs. A number of mobile phones and documents were seized, along with a small quantity of cash. With more, here's Michaela Clark.
As part of Operation Tara, Gardaí attached to Letterkenny carried out a number of search operations across Donegal and arrested six people yesterday morning. During the operation, four properties were searched under warrants, and three men and three women between their age between their late teens to early 40s were arrested, and a number of mobile phones and documents seized. A small amount of cash was also seized. An 18-year-old was charged in relation to the operation and brought before Letterkenny District Court yesterday. They were released on bail. Five people were detained under Section 4 of the Criminal Justice Act at different Garda stations in Donegal. They have all since been charged and are due to appear before Letterkenny District Court today. Gardaí say investigations are ongoing as part of Operation Tara, which focuses on the disruption, dismantling and prosecuting of drug trafficking networks.
It's hoped proposed new hospital consultant contracts will attract more people to the profession. Cabinet is likely to agree to new plans that will see senior doctors working at least 37 hours a week, Monday to Saturday, and paid up to €252,000 a year. These new contracts will be offered to all new entrants, while existing consultants will have to opt into the system. Letterkenny University Hospital is one of several in the country where a shortage of consultants is said to be contributing to bed shortages and long waiting lists. Minister Stephen Donnelly believes it'll boost the number of senior doctors working in public hospitals.
Certainly it would be my hope that they will endorse the contract. The IMO and the IHCA have been saying for many years, quite rightly, that we need more doctors in our system. We need more hospital consultants, and I fully agree with this. We have an opportunity now with this contract to do that, to move on. So I do hope that they will endorse it.
The government is being urged to promote a national campaign to welcome refugees and inform them of their rights. The call came in the Shannon last evening from Senator Eileen Flynn, who says there has been some ugly scenes on the streets which need to be countered. She also expressed concerns that what she termed a divide and conquer strategy is being pursued, which effectively distracts people from the government's feelings.
Divide and conquer, where we have communities against each other, it actually does work for the government because everyone is talking about them and us instead of talking about what's been happening at a higher level. So I'm wondering, is it any way possible that we could get a campaign going that says refugees welcome, and some kind of positive messaging we can do to welcome refugees, because after all, these people are fleeing war.
A meeting is to take place on Monday to discuss concerns of the legitimacy of beggars in Letterkenny. It has been claimed that people are being bussed into town and illegally begging. The Gaherlach of Letterkenny Milford Municipal District has called for representatives of the HSE and Garda Síochána, the North West Simon Community, Letterkenny Chamber and a local hostel to attend. Councillor Donal Mandy Kelly says while the focus of the meeting will be to establish if those are begging are genuine, he says it's imperative those that are in need of help receive it.
I also want to ensure that we as local reps do our utmost best to ensure that nobody is left sleeping rough this Christmas as well. And this is something that I'm personally very eager to achieve, is to help anyone that is in need, especially now in the winter months and coming into Christmas, you know. And whether that means that, you know, to get a roof over their head or this Christmas, or even to have them supplied with a Christmas dinner, you know, something like that. I know that we have outstanding community groups that do foresee this, you know, and do soldier work to help people in need. Regarding this legitimate street begging as well, it's something that I personally am very eager to get the bottom of, you know, as I stated before, you know, if there's people that is legit and that needs help, we need to do everything in our power to help them. But, you know, if there's people out there and fraud in the system, that's something that I'm very eager to get to the bottom of as well.
And this evening's weather, clear spells and scattered showers overnight with some turning wintry, especially over high ground. Lowest temperatures of -4 to 0 degrees. Some patches of freezing fog developing also. An icy start to tomorrow morning. And a look back on this evening's headlines. The Sealta University Healthcare Group and Galway University Hospital has welcomed confirmation today that the proposed new elective hospital for the region will progress. Sealta says the development of the elective site at Merlin Park in Galway will support the separation of scheduled and unscheduled care, reduce cancellation and address lengthy waiting lists for elective procedures. An open letter has been sent to Donegal TDs on behalf of Donegal hoteliers seeking support for tourism recovery and the retention of a 9% VAT rate. The letter, issued by Niall Coffey, a member of the Donegal branch of the Irish Hotels Federation, was written in a bid to highlight the growing economic challenges facing the sector over the coming year. A permanent GP has been recruited for Dunkin'Ely. The HSE has today confirmed that a GP has been appointed to Dunkin'Ely following fears the area would be left with no GP. The HSE are now progressing through the contract process, with the new doctor expected to be in place early in the new year. And 13 Donegal piers and harbours have been granted €5.6 million in the latest tranche of the Brexit Adjustment Fund, which was announced this afternoon. Funding has also been confirmed for a number of ongoing projects, including nearly €15 million for the ongoing breakwater project in Greencastle. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. Our next update will be at 6 o'clock, but until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 7th of December. The death has taken place of James Elliott, 28, Leckpatrick Road, Artigarvan, formerly of 79, Berry Hill Road, Dunamana, reposing at his home from 9 o'clock this evening. The house is private, please. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 1:15 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, at 2 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Sacred Heart Cemetery, Derry Road, Strabane. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Alzheimer's Society, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of Charlie Curran, 11, Abbeyview, Rathmullen. His remains will repose at his home from 6 o'clock tomorrow. Funeral Mass on Saturday at 11 in St Joseph's Church, Rathmullen, with burial afterwards in Rathmullen Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Maureen Murphy, née Regan, Mattapos, Beechwood Avenue, Letterkenny, formerly of Clonlumley, County Roscommon and South Africa. Maureen's remains will repose at her late residence until 9 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there tomorrow to St. Eunan's Cathedral for Requiem Mass at 12 noon. It can be viewed on churchservices.tv and will be followed by interment in Conwell Cemetery. Family time, please, before the funeral tomorrow. Family Flowers Only, please. Donations, if desired, to Mary's Meals, care of Pascal Blake, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Sarah Friel, née Robinson, Mina Claddy Guidor, originally of Pound Street, Dunfanaghy. Her remains will repose at Rorty's Funeral Home, Derrybeg, until Rosary at 8 o'clock this evening. Funeral Mass in St. Columbkill's Church, Knockfulla, tomorrow morning at 11, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty, Funeral Director's Facebook page. Family Flowers Only, please. Donations in lieu to the Lake House Nursing Home, Dunfanaghy, care of any family member or Kieran Rorty, Funeral Director. And the death has taken place of Ethna McCauley, Drung, Quigley's Point, reposing at her home. Ethna's funeral mass will take place tomorrow at 12 noon in St. Columbus Church, Drung, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight and on the morning of the funeral. Family Flowers Only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Carndonagh Community Hospital, care of any family member. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on stcolumbusdrung.net. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.